keeper.
Yeah.
That one. Y'all could hear that, couldn't you? I want to play the song again from communion today to get us started as we proclaim the Word of God. There's a scene in the movie The Shawshank Redemption where Andy has written letters over and over again to get books for the library. And one of the shipments that comes in is a large collection of records. He locks the door to the warden's office, turns on the intercom, and starts playing an aria, this opera. And all the men standing out in the prison yard just stop everything they're doing and look up at the speakers as though they're looking at the angels singing. And this song, whenever Leah and I were talking earlier this last week about today being a very shepherd-focused, Jesus as the Good Shepherd, she said, what about this song from Handel's Messiah? That's from Handel's Messiah, right? Okay, just want to make sure. I hate it whenever I'm like, oh, it's this, and they're like, it's not this. Okay, Handel's Messiah. It reminded me of that scene in The Shawshank Redemption. While the ladies are singing and the men are standing out in the prison yard looking up, this is what read the narrator, person in the story, says. To this day, I have no idea what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. Some things are best left unsaid. I would like to think they were singing about something that was so beautiful it can't be expressed in words, and it makes your heart ache because of it. I tell you, those voices soared higher and farther than anybody in a gray place dares to dream. It was like some beautiful bird flapped into our drab little cage and made these walls dissolve away. For the briefest moment, every last man in Shawshank felt free. I'm telling you, God's Spirit flies like a little bird into these drab little cages, and these walls dissolve away. Let us be free today. I often say to bring the world and your troubles with you in here, and I stand by that. But sometimes it's good for us to leave the cares of the world behind and music soar us to places we might not otherwise ever get to be. Let's pray together. God, thank you for welcoming us into this place and for making walls dissolve away. Thank you for your promises and for showing us the way. We, your sheep, who will follow your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. To bridge back to last week, let's keep walking, to walk. Hear God's word from Ephesians 5. Most of the time, if you've ever heard this verse or if it's familiar to you, it starts to be very careful then how you live. But the word is actually be very careful then how you walk. Is that me? What is that? Am I rubbing against it or I don't think I am. Try to read God's word for crying out loud. Okay, let's try again. Be very careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because, all right, go to the pulpit. This one's gone. Take three. Be very careful then how you walk.
not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. God's teaching me a lesson, too. It's not just y'all. Making the most of every opportunity. How's that going for you these days? The world's going to give every one of us, every day we wake up, plenty of opportunities to be careful how we walk, making the most of every opportunity. It may be as simple as being in the here and now. It may be as simple as paying attention. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which many of us who didn't grow up with the Christian calendar, it may seem kind of odd. The fourth Sunday of Easter, it's a distant memory now. The Easter dresses are hanging up in the closet now, collecting dust. The little plastic eggs are in landfills by now, you know, or if you're thrifty, are in a closet waiting for next Easter. But churches for centuries have observed Easter for up to 7 or 8 weeks because dwelling in Easter offers us an opportunity. It offers us an opportunity for a long time to dwell in a question. What now? Now that Jesus is alive, what now? How are we supposed to live now that this is real? That this resurrected Jesus is not just a teacher, but that this is the incarnation of the living God. What now? What did the risen Jesus, and this is going to harken back to earlier in this series, what did the risen Jesus offer the disciples in the Gospel of John when he walks into the room and says the same thing over and over again? You remember? Peace. And then on the walk to Emmaus, and then hopefully from as well, what does Jesus offer the walkers in Luke? Bread and blessings. In both instances, these don't line up with the expectations of the people. And think about this. The people who were living with Jesus before the cross, before the resurrection, the stuff we're going to read today is only going to make sense after the resurrection. But as Jesus was living, as he was teaching them, every time something happened, better know what the people were thinking. Think about this. Jesus changes water into wine. Oh, that'll get their attention. Jesus takes people who are crippled, who are harmed, and what does he do? He has the power to heal them. Then, Jesus has the power to take a few fish, a few loaves of bread, and feed thousands. Oh, think about what we can do with this man who's able to do these things. And then he takes a dead man and brings him back to life. We're going to be unstoppable. The Romans, they have nothing on us. We're going to be able to drive them out without any problem because we can form an army that's never going to run out of food, that's never going to die. We've got it made. We take over the whole wide world with this. This must mean that we are the ultimate people that God has ever dreamed of, and we're going to be able to build Israel, Jerusalem, into what it's never been able to be before. Let's use Jesus to build the nation the way we want it. Ooh, careful there, people of God. Careful. Because that's not what Jesus offered. It's not what Jesus offered. When we take that approach and play right into the world's games, we sometimes forget that we're supposed to keep trusting Jesus day after day. Trust God. And what does the risen Jesus offer? Peace, bread, blessings. It was Jesus who right before the cross said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Which I think may be another way of Jesus saying, don't play into the world's games. This is bigger than that. This is why churches around the world today are backtracking to something Jesus said before the cross. Yes, this is the fourth Sunday of Easter, but it's not hearing another resurrection story. Instead, we rewind all the way back to John 10 to something Jesus said way before the cross, probably, because now that Jesus is risen, this makes more sense. Three sections. Jesus in John 10, 1 through 6. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the shepherd by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. And even after, it's like, okay, Jesus, so you're the gate for the sheep, you're the shepherd, and you're the Lamb of God. Yes. Because the next thing that Jesus said to people who didn't understand, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. But there's more. I'm not sure why the people who pick passages for churches to read stopped there, but I don't want to stop there. I want to keep going. And so we're a free church tradition. We can do whatever we want. So we're going to keep reading because there's more. There's one more thing that we need to hear, and we need this one today desperately. I'm so sick and tired of opening my newsfeed every day, it feels like, and seeing, well, there was a mass shooting in this place. There's a mass shooting in this place. For the love of God, stop shooting each other. Enough already. Enough. Enough. Anybody. Enough. Stop. This has got to stop. I don't have the answers, but I know that one answer is at least stop shooting each other. Enough. And so, in a cage, in gray, drab walls, we need to hear this. And this is Jesus speaking to us, not 2,000 years ago, right now, the fourth Sunday of Easter, April 30th, 2023, in this place, to people who need to hear this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. One flock, one shepherd. Does the world feel fragmented to you today? Oh, man. Everywhere you look, everything feels so fragmented. One flock, one shepherd. We need to hear this so badly today. One flock, one shepherd, one. Jesus' heart, God's will, is that we may all be one in Christ Jesus. Did you know that after Jesus says this during his preaching ministry that makes up the first half of the Gospel of John, that once the last week of Jesus' life begins leading up to the cross, there's a huge collection of prayers in John 17. And you know what one of the main things that Jesus prays for in John 17, whenever he prays for people who will follow in the future, which is us, you know one of the main things Jesus prays is that they may all be one. If there's anything, he's like, I don't know what God's will is. Yeah, you do. You do too. It's that we may live as one. One flock, one shepherd. So, let's walk. Let's receive the peace of Christ. Let's eat bread prepared for us by Jesus. Let's receive the blessings of Jesus from the Father, and let us not use Jesus for our own will, but rather, let us hear the voice of the shepherd, let us enter where he leads, and when others ask who he really is, all we have to say is that Jesus is the good shepherd who speaks to us with a gentle voice, an authentic voice, saying things like, "Take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen.